Technorama episode 421 for December 31st, 2014. Happy New Year!
Oh, geez. We got to start the show in a few minutes. That sure did come up fast. I better make sure everybody's ready. Chuck, yeah. 2 minutes to showtime. Ready?
Good to go.
Gotcha. Hey, Lenny, you ready?
Oh, yeah, Craig. No problemo. Looking forward to it.
Okay, got it. Hello, Mr. Ethernay. You ready? 2 minutes to showtime.
I'm not in this week's show, but thanks for the FYI. I should have something for you by next week.
Yeah, okay, well, you know, whatever. It's a 60-second spot. How much prep do you need? Mr. Querty, 2 minutes to start time.
Right, Craig, thanks. By the way, has CNN called?
No, sir. I'll let you know when they do. You be waiting for that.
Oh, well, thank you.
Now, where is Beaker these days?
This is Technorama News.
Ah, the cafeteria.
This is Technorama News.
Beaker, wake up, man.
What? Hey, man, what's up?
The show's about to start. We need you in the studio in just a few seconds. We've got a show to do, man. Come on.
Righteous.
Get moving. The studio. Do your lines. You know the drill.
I'm on it. You can count on me, amigo.
All right. That's it for the crew. Now, in the control room to roll the music.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Yeah, I'm looking for bioengineered assault turtles with acid breath.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for December 31st, 2014. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you very much for joining us. If you are a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am happy to be eating something other than turkey or ham.
Tofurkey?
Yeah. And more like burgers and pizza.
You've run out of leftovers already?
I didn't say that ran out. I'll say tired of. How about that?
Oh, okay. Okay. And also joining us in the studio, we have a surprise, Julie.
Hey.
Hey.
She was here last week, but we didn't record last week. It's Christmas.
Yeah. It was good to have you on here, Julie.
Hey, yeah, it's good to be back.
And with
just
that,
just a little bit. The end.
Let's see. It says here in the show notes, chit chat. Okay, no.
Small talk.
Yeah, small talk.
Rhubarb.
Witty banter.
Weather.
Weather. How is the weather? Julie is visiting from college. She is on her going into her last semester. Maybe
yep,
grad school.
Yep. Yeah, that doesn't count.
I can't believe
grad school doesn't count.
No, I'll get paid for that.
You were saying, Craig?
I'm just surprised you've gone through college already.
That makes two of us, dude. We started this when she was 11.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. A few things have changed. And, for all those people that were in the pre-show prep show thing that you did there, thanks for walking around, we have microphones now for everybody. We don't have to share anymore.
I like how, hey, by the way, I like how I'm walking in that bit and not like running, hurry up, trying to click 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 click.
Technorama news. All right, we are going to take a real quick break and be right back with minutia, Christmas, and the future. That almost rhymes if you say it right.
Yeah. You didn't say it right.
Geek thoughts. I don't think my scroll lock's working. Wait, what is a scroll lock?
And why is it on my keyboard?
Hey, this is Kate Vernon, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Man, I barely had enough time to take a sip on that one. That was fast.
Yeah, I know. Well, you just keep talking. I'll take a sip.
Okay, you keep talking. No, because we got to turn right around and do On This Day, man.
Oh, which, what?
You go through more microphones that way.
I know.
All right, let's see if I'm queued up here. No, that's the letters from the listeners. That's the end of the letters. I'm
all
still getting
music.
Still getting the hang of this whole thing. I'm introducing the mini disc player, and well, at least I'm remembering to hit pause before it runs into the next song. But we'll get there. How about this? Woohoo!
There you go.
On this day in history for December 31st, 2014, this is the 365th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are no more days left until the end of 2014.
Wow.
Did you get
hurry
that?
Up. Yeah, hurry
but wait,
up.
Wikipedia wants to make it known even more, so they threw this in. It is widely known as New Year's Eve, since the following day is New Year's Day. It is the last day of the year. The following day is January 1st of the following year.
Following year?
What?
Thanks. Wasn't clear on that.
It was on this date in 1600 that the British East India Company is chartered, and boy, how our lives were changed by that.
Yes. Oh, is that me?
Yes.
Okay. The same date in 1695, a window tax is imposed in England, causing many households to brick up windows and avoid the tax and uninstall it.
Hey, oh, wait. Go to Max. Right.
Yeah.
Julie's turn.
Also today in 1759, Arthur Guinness signs a 9,000-year lease at £45 per annum and starts brewing Guinness.
Wow. 9, thank goodness. 9,000 years. I'm not waiting around for that patent to run out.
Yeah.
This same date in 1790, Ephemeris, the oldest Greek newspaper of which issues have survived till today, is published for the first time. That is worded so awkwardly.
Or yeah, maybe it is, isn't it?
Go ahead.
And 161 years ago today, a dinner party is held inside a life-size model of an
iguanodon.
Iguanodon? Created by Benjamin Waterhouse Hawkins and Sir Richard Owen in South London, in England.
Now, you have to realize 161 years ago, they didn't really know what an iguanodon looked like. So it was, hey, it must have been really funny.
Hey, even further, I don't even know what it means.
Carl Benz, working in Mannheim, Germany, filed for a patent on his first reliable two-stroke gas engine in 1878, and he was granted the patent the following year.
And Chitty Chitty Bang Bang was born the following year. December 31st, 1879, Thomas Edison demonstrates incandescent lighting to the public for the first time in Menlo Park, New Jersey. Hence his name, the Wizard of Menlo Park.
Right.
The Wizard of New Jersey.
Yeah. And the first New Year's Eve celebration is held in Times Square, then known as Long Acre Square. It doesn't have the same ring to it. In New York. New York, 107 years ago today.
No, it started as somebody dropping a bowling ball on his head. Hey, that sounds like a good tradition.
Yeah. Hey, drop the stone.
On December 31st, 1909, Manhattan Bridge opens.
That same date in 1923, the chimes of Big Ben are broadcast for the first time on the BBC.
And it was 68 years ago today that President Harry S. Truman officially proclaims the end of hostilities in World War II.
Whoa. We had to start the music over. The band has to go around a second time.
General Motors becomes the first U.S. corporation to make over $1 billion U.S. dollars in a year 59 years ago today.
Whoa. $1 billion.
$1 billion. Where are we? First New Year's Eve celebration, Manhattan Bridge. December 31st, 1960. The farthing. Whew, good thing I spelled that right. Farthing coin ceased to be legal tender in the United Kingdom. Oh, what will I do with all of my farthings?
And 31 years ago today, the AT&T Bell system is broken up by the United States government.
Something that had an impact on my career history, of which I'll indulge you another time.
Yes, please.
All official Soviet Union institutions have ceased operations by this date, and the Soviet Union is officially dissolved.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Vladimir Putin. All official. Put that in air quotes next time.
Official.
That same date in 1994, this date is skipped altogether. I find this fascinating. In the Kiribati, as the Phoenix Islands and Line Islands change time zones from UTC minus 11 to UTC plus 1300 and UTC minus 10 to UTC 1400. So they jumped themselves over the timeline, the date line, and said, no, we don't want to be way, way behind everybody. We want to be ahead of everybody. So
that's quite a jump, though.
They skipped. Hey,
and then the following day was January 1st of the following year.
So they couldn't have said that. It's not January 1st of the following year. It's January 2nd.
Yes. And it was 5 years ago today that at both the blue moon and the lunar eclipse occur. Wow.
Blue moon.
I had to read that twice.
NASA succeeds in putting the first two gravity recovery and interior laboratory satellites in orbit around the moon on this date in 2011.
Happy birthday goes out in this date to French navigator and explorer Jacques Cartier, born on this date in 1491.
And astronomer Robert Grant Aitken was also born today in 1864.
Andy Summers, English guitarist, songwriter, and producer, turned 72 today.
72? He was in the Police. Man, he must have been like 50 when he... wow. Holy smokes. Another musician, John Denver, would have been 71.
And actor Ben Kingsley actually does turn 71 today, since he's still alive.
Donna Summer, any relation to Andy Summers?
No.
Not at all? No. All right. American singer, songwriter, and actress was born today in 1948, but she passed away in 2012.
And finally, actor, singer, and producer still alive, Val Kilmer is 55. Look at that. The band went around the second time. This is one of our longest on this day in history. That's the way it was on this day in history for December 31st, 2014. See you next year, band.
And now 2014's history.
Whew, good thing I paid them extra for the New Year's Eve music.
That was really
amazing.
That was exactly 6 minutes and 20 some odd seconds long. Exactly some odd seconds. You got to get
the... Maybe you should add like the other smaller versions in there so you can just...
keep playing them? Bum, ba-dum, ba-dum, bum.
We need... Chuck, we need 5 more seconds. Okay. Keep hitting the 5 second one.
Just keep it. Yeah. I actually have hacked that song. It's not normally that length. I stuck in a few extra choruses. Anyway, we turn to our listener birthday calendar and wish the following people from our wiki and other wiki. And we also pillage once again from Facebook. December 31st has three. Count them, three birthdays. Speaking of which, before I get on with this, did you see the count counts to like a million digits in of pi?
No, I did not.
Didn't we put that on a show? About 5 hours.
Oh, geez.
No, maybe it was 10,000 digits. I can't remember. It was some absurd number.
Surely that was.
And it just goes on. Three.
Oh no.
One.
Four. No wonder it took 5 hours.
One.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
Someone had to write a program to do that. That's the funny part.
Hey, he actually had a job as a mathematician, but he was fired because it took too long to calculate anything.
Imagine being a stock analyst. Oy.
Hey, can you go through this ledger? 5,000.
Anyway, December 31st is Shadowbird's mom, Mr. Sim, a.k.a. Jeremy from Winnipeg. Happy birthday to you. And Jimmy Jett, former podcaster from Quincy, Illinois.
Hey, he's not podcasting anymore.
I haven't heard from him or Bob in a long time. Of course, I never heard from Bob in the first place.
I was going to say, come to think of it, we never heard from Bob.
Huh. Well, maybe you didn't.
Wait, he did call in.
Yeah, he did. January 1st is our own George Starcher's birthday, although I had to steal that from Facebook, too. He's not on our wiki. Although fellow podcaster Thomas Gideon is, he's on January 3rd. And January 6th is Steve Therrien from Canada. Happy birthday to all of you who have a birthday this week. Wow, that's almost one per day on average. This is one of our better weeks. And if you're not on the birthday calendar, happy birthday to you. And if you want to get there so we can give you a shout out.
Sorry, I read that as you were singing the song. Happy birthday to you.
To you.
Either that or your voice cracked. I'm not sure.
Hey, come on, man. It's not funny. We're going to take a real short break. Let me get the music going here. There we go. Short break, and we will be back with many hacks and strange stories and other things. What kind of things do you suspect we have?
Who knows?
Greetings, programs. This is Jay Mayer, the Tron Guy, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig.
How are you, Craig?
I'm good.
You sound good there, Grandpa.
The Illusion Islands.
The Elusive Islands?
It's next door to Fantasy Island.
The plane.
Tattoo, why are you chain smoking again?
The plane, boss.
Did it sound okay to you?
God, you sound bad.
Shut up, man.
Ah, the one time Craig had a sore throat on the show. Humor ensued.
Ah, the memories.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
Oh, we have Hacks and Strange Stories, do we not?
We do.
Where is it? Before the media corner. No, before Remember When. Not on this day. Hey, where's my Hacks and Strange Stories thing? I got to go from here, I guess.
I see it right here, under the break.
Hacks and Strange Stories!
Oh, you mean that thing.
I swear I put that on a mini disc player at one point, but okay. Anyway, I had to
go find Lenny there real quick.
And that's all we need from him. Slam the door on him once again. We have a Millennium Falcon cardboard build. That is amazing if you look at these pictures. I wish they had done more of the green screen filtered shots, you know, where they place
it. I know.
It.
I was there going... I kept flipping through them looking for another shot. I was like, you got to be kidding.
So anyway, this gentleman, Thomas Richner, it says, a 140-hour adventure not so long ago. Well, you finished this a couple weeks back. In a galaxy not so far away, known as Columbus, Ohio,
That's how I refer to it.
An effort was made to clean up and recycle some empty boxes in our basement. But... I got a little sidetracked. It's not my fault. And it shows the complete build, starting with the pile of boxes. So I know this is very visual, and this isn't on video yet. I wish we could have this on the video so you could see it. But we're not there yet. We're still working on the studio parts that make that happen.
Go to the show notes and click on the link.
Yeah, click on the link. See how it started, Julie? Christmas trees
Christmas
and boxes. And
cool.
Yeah. Then he started carving. The base and the frame and the chassis and the undercarriage and the...
How would you even think to do this?
Wait a minute. There's a book down there. It says Sculpting the Galaxy.
I want to know, where do you get the information for all the little detailed knickknacks, or is that just artistry in action there?
He might have been going off pictures, or he might just be making it up.
There's a Haynes manual.
Oh, that's
for
right.
The Millennium Falcon. So I'm sure there's plenty of detail online.
For all the little cylinders and gratings and things that get stuck on the outside?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh,
Yeah. I mean, I actually downloaded it, but it was an old book I had when I was a kid. It was the Star Wars Blueprints, and it has a lot of detail. Even so, on the Death Star, there's different tiles, and they just show the sketch of the tile, the blue, and it has all the little... You know, the details that would go along with that. So anyway,
if he'll do that next year. Do the Death Star because it's got more detail on the outside.
Did the blueprints, did they have like air venting and water pipes and
toilets?
The Haynes manual would. Mine did not. It didn't go in that quite a detail. I'll have to share it with you and look at it. But the Haynes manual does. And I've seen the one for the Millennium Falcon.
The center of the deflector dish or radar dish or whatever that is looks more like you carved it out of a stick. That's not cardboard.
Cheating.
The deflector dish? I'm trying to get to it. Seeing.
It's like the eighth or ninth picture in there. The
stick?
That looks like a stick. The close-up he's got on that little dish.
Anyway, in the middle? Yeah. Maybe he's got something in there.
I see wood grain in there.
Hey, you know what? For this kind of project, I'm not going to be too picky. It looks pretty good.
Yeah. And then he propped it up on tripods and things and did some green screening with it, which when you see, he's only got the two shots. That's what's disappointing. Two shots. Was R2-D2 one of his previous projects or was that somebody else's?
I think he just put it in there for, oh, wait, it does look like it's been duct taped or something.
Yeah.
Or yeah, it looks like cardboard with duct tape on it.
And he's got a green screen shot of it zooming through space, which is kind of cool. And then he's got another one where it's parked on the desert landscape.
But he didn't ever string it up on a piece of fishing line and go, woo.
Yeah. I am your father. No, that's pretty cool.
I would have totally had a picture of it with a like a Death Star in the background or something. Mm-hmm. You know, it had been a lot of fun to take pictures of this thing.
On a similar note to Star Wars, maybe we should have put this in the media corner because this is media stuff. But anyway, we make no claims about how accurate this show is.
Hey, by the way, one more picture about that I thought was really cool with the Millennium Falcon. The one where he's got it look like sitting on Tatooine.
Right. He just just parked it on his gravel backyard.
Probably just put some sand. Yeah, it looks great though. Sorry. So be sure to check that out if you can hit the show notes.
On the Star Wars theme, Tom Bettjorge is a music teacher by day, and by night, he's a light show Jedi. The California man has engineered a Christmas light display set perfectly to John Williams' iconic Star Wars score. It was featured on ABC's The Greatest Christmas Light Fight, a TV show that needs no explanation because we need no more reality shows.
Hey, by the way, we did... Our family was watching the ABC, the Great Christmas Light Fight.
Yeah.
And they did.
Keep going.
I can't keep going. You broke my thought. So they didn't do the Star Wars show on the show. He didn't do this light presentation on the show. He did a different one. It was an original song he did. And it probably, I don't know why, because ABC probably could have easily gotten the rights for Star Wars.
Yeah, and they'll probably sue us at some point for playing his music, too.
But I have to say, his light thing was really cool, but there were other ones featured on the show that were even better. So each show had about six contestants, and they would give $50,000 to one of the contestants, even though they would probably not pay for an hour of their power bill.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much more do you think they spent on the lights and everything?
Yeah, I can buy another string for 50
grand. Oh, you know what? I didn't notice the little faces on the garage roof until they started doing the next video, Let It Go. He did another one.
Oh, wow.
And the piano is actually playing the piano parts with the keys lighting up at the right keys. I think the thing that really makes his light show cooler than most, he doesn't have that much stuff lighting up in his front yard. It's those searchlight beacon things he's got, 8 of them on his roof.
Now, on the show, it said that those can shoot up to 8 miles high.
Oh, my gosh. Bring down an airplane.
And rotate 360 degrees, so they can really go anywhere in this whole hemisphere. And it's pretty cool, because at about a minute 26, you got to see this. He starts a lightsaber fight. You can kind of hear it going on in the background. And
they start going... The lights are going back and forth like they're lightsabers.
The faces on the garage roof are still singing in chorus. Ooh, ah, la, la, la.
Yeah.
A couple of them just got knocked out.
Yeah, there's one point where something's shooting, pew, 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 and the guitar goes up in smoke.
This was cool. Hey, on his thing, on the show, they opened, it was his original, he was like a music director at a church, and he had the choir inside the garage. The garage opened up, and everybody starts singing. It's like, whoa, it's really cool. And on the guitar, and the detail was so, even if we go look at it, he had the rivets like screws on a guitar would have. They were on there too. So there's a lot of detail you just wouldn't see from the street.
He's got a 17-foot guitar in his front yard and a 19-foot piano. It says this is about 12,500 channels running about 100,000 lights, which in the grand scheme isn't that great, but he made most of these decorations out of corrugated plastic, metal, acrylic, wood. This isn't, a whole bunch of high-tech stuff that was customized. And there goes the guitar up in smoke.
Yeah, I like that.
I think we need to. We'll cut it there.
I wouldn't say this is a reality show. They just had different people from across the country competing, with their own light shows, and there were some that were. It just blew us away when we're watching it. And I think
you did see the show.
Yeah, we've seen them all except for the last one.
Oh, okay.
So yes, there were some on there. You're just going, wow. I mean, one guy had 8 acres of land and everything was lit up. He had like 2 million lights, he said.
So, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This 50 grand is, you know, that's as barely, that's like a square foot in his front yard.
Yeah, that might pay for his electric bill for one day.
I think they want the glory more than the money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it was really cool. It was a fun show.
All right. Since we mentioned the Media Corner, we'll flip there now. Hey, Beaker.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
in the Media Corner, and Craig will get into this in just a bit. You went to see the interview, right?
I did not go to see it. Actually, what I did was...
Oh, I thought you said you did see that this week.
Oh, I did. I did. It was on, they had it streaming online.
Oh, that's right. And part of that plays into this story very well. Sony apparently isn't the only one who lost money on the interview last week. A man in Ohio tried to cash in on the buzz surrounding Seth Rogen and James Franco's new comedy when he purchased $650 in tickets, or 50 passes at $13 each. According to WCPO in Cincinnati, Jason Best learned that the local theater in Clifton was among the 300 theaters to play the controversial film on Christmas Day and hoped to resell the tickets online at a higher price, aka scalping them. Quote, I saw all about the hype about the interview on the 23rd and thought, hey, folks are selling these tickets in other cities and it seems like that's the thing to do right now, so why not give it a shot and see how it goes, unquote, he said. But the plan backfired once Sony announced it was streaming the film online for half price and on sites like YouTube, Hulu, and Netflix. Wait, where is it? I have to do the sad trombone. There we go. Now the man is demanding a refund from Esquire Theater. Quote, I thought I'd get my money back because the theater's website very clearly said that tickets were refundable, unquote. Best told WCPO in an email, but the theater manager told Best that the art house didn't have a website and that the interview was listed as a special event. It turns out that Best had purchased the tickets from movietickets.com, which specifically warns on its website that theater owners reserve the right to withhold refunds for special events.
It didn't have a website at all.
Yeah. That's unheard of, but anyway.
Yeah, that's another story.
And the manager said, oh, by the way, scalping tickets is illegal. The $40 million budgeted interview, which expanded to iTunes on Sunday, recently changed from a wide to limited release after North Korean hackers threatened to harm theatergoers. The R-rated comedy earned nearly $3 million at the box office this weekend. I thought it would earn more because it's had such a lot of hype. But
I think it actually did. I think in general with the online stuff, I think they said they got $15 million.
Forgive me for being offline for a bit because it is the holidays and I heard some news about this. What is the controversy around about that movie? Korean hackers threatening?
Okay. So this movie, the premise of the movie is that Seth Rogen and James Franco's characters in the movie they're going to do an interview with Kim Jong-il. All
right. Okay.
Kim
Jong-un,
They're going to go interview him. Well, the CIA steps in and says, hey, you're going to be in a closed room with him. Can you assassinate him for us? So you can see why North Korea wouldn't be happy with this movie.
Okay.
So you got these two going to try and plot and kill the leader of North Korea. So the hackers hack Sony, put a bunch of information, embarrassing information from Sony online, and threaten more if they didn't pull the film, and even threaten 9/11 style attacks on theaters that played the movie. So a lot of the movie chains like AMC and everything, they pulled it. They said they weren't going to show it. Turns out everybody got a streak of patriotism for this piece of art. they said, we're going to show it anyway in some theaters, and they put it online to recoup some money and stuff and just say, hey, okay, we're going to put it out there anyway. So it was on Google Play Movies. So I was like, you know what? I have to see what this movie's about. You know, I had to see it. So I spent the $6. I didn't spend $650 hoping to scalp some tickets.
Speaking of hacking Sony, there was other news recently about the New Lizard Group or New Lizard something or other.
Lizard something like
that. Yeah, and Julie saw a rather funny cartoon that I'll let you tell about if you do so care. So,
oh, okay. It was, oh no, they hacked Xbox Live and PlayStation. Call an ambulance.
So they call an ambulance, and it's a caption of an ambulance picture, and it says, Wii U, Wii U, like W-I-I.
Oh, Wii U. Nice.
I thought that was very creative.
It is creative. So yeah, on Christmas Day, the PlayStation Network was down. So, which sucks for people that got new PlayStations. And same thing with the Xbox Live. I think even T. Morris, I think he got an Xbox or PlayStation 4. Because I saw a picture and it said it couldn't connect to the network. And I was like, what is he talking about? And, I think it was him. But anyway, so he got
He forgot his WAP password.
Oh, was that what it was?
That was everybody's problem.
No, actually, I heard a very good life hack today. Yeah. I heard a good life hack. It says if you're giving somebody a device like that or a computer or something, open it up, take it out, and patch it first before they get it. Because that way they can open it up and start using it rather than waiting 4 hours to download an update. All the updates that go with it.
That's a good idea. That's nice.
I thought that was terrific, too. Mm-hmm. I think I did that with your laptops last year. I updated the OS and whatnot. But I didn't, and I loaded the Office software, but I didn't get all your user data. Otherwise, I would have said, hey, can I borrow your old computer for a minute? And that would have kind of given it away.
At all.
I posted this on Facebook, and this was ridiculous. So my mom got a new computer, and I thought, okay, no problem. I'm going to copy your stuff from my old computer to your new one. And there's the Windows Easy Transfer tool. All right.
Oh,
so it's supposed to copy data from one computer to the other. That's fine. Well, the Windows XP or Windows 7 version, it says, do you want to do it across the network? I went, yeah, of course. So I set it up and it gives me a little code you're supposed to type in on the receiving computer. Well, I go to the Windows 8.1 machine. I pull up the Windows Easy Transfer tool and I click next and I'm looking at it and there's no network transfer option. Microsoft had removed it.
Well, that was nice.
Did they replace it with something else or
no. Security feature?
I think I could back up the old one using the tool to an external hard drive and then take the old hard drive to the new machine and restore it. I may even be able to use one of these funky USB transfer cables. But I'm like, really? Why would you remove that? Well, one small thing that I need.
Yep.
Thanks, Microsoft.
Speaking of Christmas. Let's have a little talk about Christmas. What kind of Christmas gifts did you get? Was Santa good to you? Was he a geek Santa this year?
Actually, I got several geeky items. I got the Batman TV series.
We heard that whole song on the radio the other day. We're listening to SiriusXM, and it just went on and on and on. It was like 4 minutes of Batman.
Very creative lyrics.
Yeah.
On a side note, I saw a photo. It was like Batman with his head down. And it says, I do not smell.
What?
Yeah. Batman smells.
Oh.
It says, I do not smell. Okay. So anyway, I got it's the complete TV series, the 66 version, on Blu-ray. And it came with a pack. I haven't opened the poker cards yet. It came with a pack of poker cards, and they have different images, and stuff from the characters. And then it's got a Matchbox Hot Wheels.
Wait. They're poker cards? Then obviously there has to be a Joker, right?
That's right. Yes. Okay. I haven't opened them, but yes, I'm sure there is. And it's got a Matchbox Batmobile in it.
Very cool.
Yeah. So I started watching a couple episodes. Oh, the other cool thing was, I don't know if you're familiar with the ultraviolet service, but like sometimes you get a Blu-ray movie and it says you can register and watch this online.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, I can do that with the Batman. So all the episodes are now online and I can watch.
That's cool.
Ooh.
I got Guardian.
How many days straight would you have to watch it if you wanted to watch all of the Batman episodes in a row?
Well, let's see. They're 120 episodes. So
at about 40, no, were those were 30 minute episodes, weren't they? Or
I think so.
20, yeah. 24, 26.
Yeah. So probably a couple weeks,
40 hours. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's like a daytime right. job. 8 hours, 5 days a week. Yep. You're good.
All right. See y'all next year.
Okay. Just take a week of vacation and sit through them with Harrison.
That's right.
Hey, you so said Guardians of the Galaxy?
I got Guardians of the Galaxy. I got a 3D version. So I'm going to check
out.
I knew
that wow. came out on disc mm-hmm. for Christmas.
Yeah. So I'm going to check out the 3D part, but I have watched the regular version. And, by the way, my mom got me this shirt and it has a right triangle on it with a couple of numbers. And then it has X on one end.
Yes.
And then at the top, it says one period, find X.
There
and
it then, is.
And the X says, yeah, here it is.
I just said that, what, like 2 days ago to Julie.
Yeah.
The girls were on some crazy discussion about math and the amount of water in the world. And
if all the land was flattened out, how much water would be on top of us?
Yeah. They had some real interesting discussions this weekend.
Mm, that's pretty cool. So the other thing I did is I participated in the Secret Santa via Reddit gifts, you know, the website.
I had heard about that. How did that go? Did you give something and get something?
Yes. So you register and you put in information about yourself and somebody, they match you with somebody. So somebody's assigned to me. I'm assigned to somebody, some totally different. So it's not like we're exchanging between each other. And, I had to log back in. My screen saver went on. So yeah.
You're using your work machine, aren't you?
Yeah. So it went pretty well. I sent my package out and they got it the day before Christmas Eve. So Christmas Eve. And I sent several items. They wanted something for their wall from their desk. And I ended up printing a picture from the Computer History Museum and framing it and sending it. I gave him my red stapler, which I got to go buy another one for myself. And, I put some punch cards in there that Chuck gave me a stack.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
So I put a few in there and wrote a note on it. And I basically said, these punch cards won't do you any good right now, but they are great to start conversations.
That's cool. Cause that's not something you can go out and buy anymore.
Yeah. So they flipped out over it and they put a nice thing.
Did you sign your punch card yet, Julie?
No, I don't have a very nice signature.
So. Well, half the people in that stack of podcasters don't have them. I just realized tonight that I don't have a punch card signed by Julie.
Man. All right. So let me tell you what I got. Okay. So I received my gift. I got a Gotham City Police Department t-shirt.
Yes.
I got this really cool wall hanging. It's like an old Spider-Man with Mysterio on the cover. Uh-huh. It looks like a, you know, comic book cover, but it's on a wrapped canvas frame, which was really cool. And I got 15 boxes of Kraft macaroni and cheese.
What? Why?
I don't know. I'll take it. But
he's
I'll
making a big macaroni art of the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, there we go. So, it was a good experience.
Yep, Craig likes comic books. That makes sense. And then the mac and cheese.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I'll take it. Oh, and they did, and I got a book on how to fix everything electronic.
I got mostly clothes, but one of the t-shirts was a little nerdy. What was the one with the docs on it? It had like Doc Octopus.
It had the Futurama jar in a head, but it had doctors. It was all from doctors. Every fandom you can think
Doctor
of.
Doctor Who, Doctor... Doc Ock, Dr. Horrible. There were like
they had some real doctors
them.
Too, like I should know, go get Einstein the shirt. Or something. There were it was such a mix of cool things.
Yeah, it was all over the place.
That's cool.
Lisa gave me Cards Against Humanity. That's how we got the thing at the media corner at the title of the show about the bioengineered turtles with acid breath. And for those of you who don't know, that's sort of like apples to apples for grown-ups. It's
right.
not a kid's card game, although my kids were participating and beating the pants off of us.
Grown-ups now. We do our own laundry.
Hey, that's you're never grown-ups.
That's the qualification is you have to do your own laundry.
Hey, I'm 45 and I'm still not a grown-up.
Oh, my. And I got one nice thing from our coworker Andrew. He gave me some nice code to make PDF certificates because I'm scaling up an application that I'm writing for work as I give people certifications and accreditations and things because I'm mm-hmm. kind of like an internal trainer guy. And I said, this is silly. I'm doing this crazy stuff in Excel and pulling this information in from over here and over there. And I need to scale this out to our partners. And part of the manual process was making these certificates in PowerPoint manually. I said, Andrew, you have mad PDF skills. Could you make something like this? And in about 3 hours, he comes back and goes, here, here's the script include and the processor, and here's the URL to make it happen. Wow, that's cool. He saved me like a week or two of hacking around iText and doing PDFs to get that working.
Wait a minute. Couldn't you just do like a mail merge kind of thing?
It wouldn't really work in mail. You'd have to see how it works. It's actually pretty cool. Okay. I'm building the rest of the application to go suck data from over here and over there and merge it together and figure out, did you pass? And what are all the rules to figure out what?
Wait a minute. He gave you this code for Christmas?
Yeah. He did it on Christmas Eve.
Okay. Oh.
I've been writing script and making forms and tables and things for the last 4 days. It's been a great time.
That's cool.
That's what I like doing in my time off. All right. Let's go on from Christmas presents to Christmas hacks.
Yes.
You hacked your tree. What does that entail, hacking a tree?
Well, I did this last year. I can't remember if we talked about this on the show, but I saw this on this life hack, as like on Life Hack or something like that. Or I forget where I saw it.
You used this newfangled electricity and made lights because Edison introduced this incandescent light.
Yeah, the tree all lit up.
No more candles to burn your house down?
Well, that's right. Yeah, that was an unfortunate event a few years ago. No, I'm just kidding.
Trogdor came and got his Thastrue cottages.
Trogdor strikes again.
Yeah. So we go get a live tree, and each year we go cut it down and everything. So in the past, it's been a pain to keep watered because I got to lay down and get under the tree and pour water in it. So I thought,
I think I know where this is going.
Yeah, I said, well, I'm going to go look for a hack. So the hack was that I took a kitty litter bucket, like one of those tidy cats or something like that, a bucket, and put a hose on it. And I did a tree siphon or like a siphon, you know, with a gravity fed water. Yeah. And all I got to do is pull the bucket open, pour it in, close it. And I wrapped the bucket so it looks like a present under the tree. With a hose coming out. So.
We had a framed picture of like this mountain and lake and it was behind where we put our tree, so we wrapped it like a present. So it's a present on the wall. I saw that in Pizza Hut years ago. I thought, why not? Yeah.
So we went from having to water the tree almost twice a day at first to once I put the siphon on it, maybe I can go almost 2 days without watering it. Oh, the important part is to mark a line inside the bucket.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Did you have a fill line or?
Yeah, so the reservoir in the tree stand mm-hmm. is about 7 inches deep. So I put a 6.5 inch, you know, height mark.
Don't overflow it.
Yeah, so I don't go overflow it. Sometimes I have to go over a little bit to get it equalized, but it'll generally stay about the 6.5 inches, and it works great.
I'd really be impressed if you use one of those toilet float things. You know, where the water level gets low enough and it kicks on and lets some water in. That's how my pool in the backyard fills up, right? The pool gets too low, it lets in some more water.
Behind where we keep the tree, there is a toilet, so I can run some water off of that.
There's fresh water there.
Yeah. I like where this is going.
Running all through your living room.
Well, I can't wait till next year now.
I hacked a piece of hardware that was left over from Michael. He left all kinds of things in this house.
Did he even move?
He just left me kind of, he didn't want to do a rummage sale. He said, here, Chuck, we inherited a bunch of things. And one of them was an old first gen Apple TV, the kind that looks more like a Mac Mini, you know, the big ones that you could bake cookies on top because they get really hot. Well, it needed a power cord. It needed a remote. It needed just about everything. Well, I finally found I got a Logitech Harmony for the main TV, and I went, well, then I don't need a remote for my Apple TV. I can use this. And then I started on the hunt for a power cord, and I found one that was used in an unused network switch. I went, okay, I've got this all to make it ready and work. I plugged it in, and it still had his login and his. But the first gen didn't have things like Netflix. It wasn't network-centric. It was iTunes-centric.
Yes.
So if you didn't have it plugged into your iTunes library and you didn't have a lot of stuff, it really wasn't terribly useful. So I started looking around. I said, what can you do with this? And first thing was, well, you could sell it. I don't want to sell it because it's only worth about $60 and it'll, you know, just. And then I looked and it said you could hack it to use AirPlay. Well, that's getting more useful. There's an ATV USB creator USB stick. And the thing is, if you put a USB stick in there, it will boot from the USB stick. You don't have to do anything. And then I looked a little further and there's a version of Linux called Crystal Ubuntu. And you can find
it's a version of Ubuntu or something.
Yeah. And it, because the ATV creator USB was supposed to come with XBMC, which is the Xbox Media Center. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, I don't have an Xbox, so maybe that won't do any good. Well, that really didn't work. So I upped the ante and went for Crystal Ubuntu. Long story short, I spent about 10 hours the Saturday before Christmas getting this thing to work. No, it was the Saturday before the Saturday, whatever it was, mid-December, getting this thing to work. And it, after about the third time of rebooting and reformatting that stick and sticking it in there, it became a will of me versus the stupid computer. You know how those
will conform.
Right. I am going to win whether it kills me or you or both.
Postmodernist man versus technology struggle.
Yes, it was.
I was thinking more like scorched earth, but okay.
It shouldn't be that hard. Well, my final answer was these plugins are not downloading from the internet all that well. So I'll download them. And I know a little bit of Linux and I can SSH into this thing and FTP to it. So why don't I just dump the files on the local file system, AKA thumb drive, and suck them up from there. And it worked fine. Once I got past that initial hump of installing whatever it was, one channel or something, everything else went great. So XBMC is now called Kodi, K-O-D-I, and you can find that at Kodi.tv. They just came out with, on December 23rd, they just came out with release 14, which is known as, was it Hobbit? H-I-G-G-H. G was Gotham. Is it Hobbit? No, it was something else. Helix. That's okay. What it is. It's Helix. Yeah, I knew it was that show that I watched on
Sci-Fi. I'm looking at the website. I'm like, what is he looking for? Hobbit.
No. it's kind of like, you know, Android names their operating systems after candies and food and things. Well, I don't know what the theme is here. It's something sci-fi geeky because F was Frodo. But anyway, I'm having a lot of fun with that. With the one-channel plugin, it does about 90-95% of everything I needed to do. I can queue up and watch TV shows that are still like not on Netflix yet. I can catch the fall season of a lot of my favorites, aka Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Arrow and la, la, la. Plus movies that have just come out on DVD and whatnot. So I'll be watching Guardians of the Galaxy shortly.
Yes.
And it's all apparently free and legal, but I don't know what the sources of these are. But I wouldn't give this user interface to my parents. I would give them an Apple TV instead and say, wait for the shows to come out in 6 months when, you know, the season is over. Because it's pretty easy to go, hey, I want to watch my favorite show. And you got to scroll through menu, go TV, add-ons, one channel. Oh, there's my list of shows. Okay, got my list of shows. Mm-hmm. And you say, I want to watch Arrow Season 3, Episode 4. And this is great. Now choose your source. And I'm not sure if it comes from VideoX.com or Guerrilla Video. Or you get this list of like 50 sources.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Right. So I'm told... And I had to refer to many YouTube videos. The documentation on Kodi.tv is pretty good. It's all a wiki-based thing. But I found videos more enlightening, especially. But most of the people were doing this via PC. And it said, oh, when you want to subscribe to a show, right-click on this or hold the C key. I'm using my Apple remote, which has three buttons. I'm going, there's no C key on here. What the heck, man?
Hit Control-Alt-Delete.
So I found out about long hold. If you hold the menu button on an Apple TV remote, that's called a long hold. You press and hold, and up comes this context menu that says, do you want to subscribe? Do you want it to add to favorites, et cetera, et cetera. Oh. It's like, oh, yeah, man. Of course, I got that off of the Kodi TV wiki. So it was all pretty cool that I got that working. It's it is still a screaming hot machine, and I'm told you can put in an HD card. But the thing does 720 natively, so I'm like, well, you know, that's good enough for the bedroom.
Oh, 720's not bad at all.
Yeah, I don't need 1040 or 10. No. But it's only like a $20 card that you can throw in the thing to do it. But yeah, maybe I'll do that next year. Oh, wait, it is next year.
I'm going to say, I'll buy you a Chromecast.
I have a Chromecast.
Oh, that's right. You did.
And I was bummed today that the that NFL Mobile from Verizon is purposely blocking Chromecast.
Really?
Lisa pulls up her phone. She goes, oh, I got NFL Mobile for free on mine. We can watch the Packers play the Lions. And it's blocked. I went online. I said, what's up with that? It says, yeah, as of mid-October, Verizon blocked it, or NFL blocked it. I'm like, oh, come on, man.
Like, of course.
Stupid thing. Oh, anyway, on to movies. You saw movies.
Yes.
You mentioned the interview earlier.
Yeah, we already talked about the interview, which I'll mention two things about it real quick. One, I'll say as far as the movie goes, I enjoyed about 50-50. There was some funny stuff in it, but it wasn't that great of a movie. Imagine that.
Okay.
But the thing about it is on XBMC.
Yeah, be sure to you know watch it. It'll be good for you, just for your pop culture, knowledge. Sure. But as far as the hype goes, the only thing about the hype, this movie deserved none of the hype that it got, and only got the hype because of the hack. So, you know, that's what made it kind of popular. No, it wasn't.
So that's
that
a
great,
solid but, pass.
Watch it just to watch it, but I wouldn't say it's no epic.
Okay.
But speaking of epics, I have to say we saw the Hobbit and the Battle of the Five Armies.
Oh, I want to see
that. Is
that
the last one? Or yes. Have I lost
okay. Yes,
that's
this is the last
one in the Hobbit series.
Now, in all honesty, and I think a lot of people agree with me that these three movies should have been like two.
Yeah.
Lots of gratuitous violence.
But yes, this one. The movie itself was great. Great. I loved it. A lot of, spectacle, gratuitous violence, like you said. Things look great. A lot of good personalities because everything's coming together, it's towards the end. Good movie. Really enjoyed it. Even Harrison said, oh, I love that.
Did you see the Stephen Colbert interview with Smaug's head? God, that was funny. We got to throw that in the show notes somewhere. Just YouTube Smaug and Colbert, and you'll find it.
Yes.
It is like 7 minutes of hilarity.
And you know what? Colbert, I think we mentioned to it on the show. He is a huge, huge Tolkien fan.
Oh, I mean, he's a nerd. He's an uber nerd.
He knows this stuff. He knows this stuff from, and I was thinking after the movie, with that kind of knowledge. Now, I have decent knowledge. I know what's going on. And I know who's who and that kind of stuff. And I mean, the Silmarillion. I cannot read that stupid book. It's just beyond me. I've tried it several times, and it's got a lot of Middle Earth knowledge in it.
Mm-hmm.
He knows all this stuff. I'm like, how do you have all this background knowledge and you watch this movie and go, they totally did this wrong, or that was right? I don't know if you could enjoy it. I wonder that, but
you can't watch a Peter Jackson movie and compare it to the book. It doesn't work that way.
No. I know you can't, and it's not. It's not really like that. Now, Lord of the Rings, I mentioned this before, those three movies, I read the books before I saw each movie, and it fell along pretty close to what I'd imagined. So these, a lot of things did, from when I read The Hobbit, but there's a lot more thrown in here than...
You think?
Yeah. And I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but there's some things in there you make it, oh, okay, got cool.
Julie,
yeah.
Did you see the first two yet?
Yep, I did.
Okay. So you still need to see the second one. So we're thinking about doing the Hobbit before Julie takes off in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, definitely. That's a definite go see.
We have not seen any movies yet. I've caught up on a lot of TV during the off season. All caught up on Sherlock and Luther, and starting to catch up on the fall series TV shows that I missed. Arrow and Bones, but still working on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That has not made it onto my starting block yet. But we do want to go watch Interstellar because I won a couple of free movie tickets from Slice of Sci-Fi.
Really?
And I waited and waited. They said, oh, they should be there Monday or Wednesday or the following Friday. And I just kept going on and on. I said, oh, forget that. So Mike and I finally went like Thanksgiving weekend, or that weekend when Donna was out of town before Thanksgiving. I said, there, we saw that. Well, about a week ago, the tickets show up.
Oh, no.
So
If I read them right, it's for two pairs of tickets, so the whole family can go watch Interstellar for free. And then Julie and I can catch The Hobbit before she takes off, too.
Yeah.
We can get all nerded up before she goes back to school.
Yeah, like there's not enough nerd there.
not enough movie theaters anyway.
At Michigan Tech University, how much nerd do you think there is?
Hey, I do have to ask you a question, Chuck.
What's that?
Do you remember when we interviewed Anthony D.P. Mann, the director?
Director of what?
He was a director, and we talked to him, I forget what movie it was we were actually talking to him about, but remember he did Sherlock Holmes. He sent us a copy.
He did?
You remember that? Sherlock Holmes and the Shadow Watchers?
I vaguely remember interviewing yes, I do remember him.
Yes. Well, yeah. Remember he sent us a copy of his Sherlock Holmes movies because remember I said that I was a Sherlock Holmes fan. He says, oh, well, actually, and he talked about the movie a little bit.
Where's my copy?
Did you not get a copy?
No.
Okay. Well, I've got it. I've yet to watch it. So I was going through my DVDs and I went, you know what? I have not watched this yet. So I'm going to watch it.
All right. And then you can rip it and stick it in our Google Drive.
Yes. I'll get you a copy. So, yes. Anyway. I just thought about that today when I was going through my movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Speaking of interviews, what kind of stuff would you like us to talk about in 2015, listener? Do you want more interviews? Do you want more guest appearances by people like Julie, Ben, Mike, Tim?
None of those guys.
People can yank out of the garage on a whim?
Wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute. You're supposed to be asking me, not the listener.
the listener. That was singular now.
Yeah, the listener.
You got to be careful so that you don't get more hosts than listeners.
Send your comments to technorama at chuckchat.com.
We want to hear from you. What sort of things do you like? What don't you like? This is one of those annual review things, okay? It's up to you to give us some feedback and tell us what you want to hear.
That's a good point, Julie. We get more hosts than listeners.
We may. Let's see. Julie, Mike, Tim, Brian, Ben, Keith.
I'm just wondering, is there enough Chuck money Craig. In the budget to get everybody to Dragon Con for a live show?
Well, we'll need a little more contributions in the
segue.
In the old PayPal thing. Yeah. But that sounds like a good point to cut it off because we are coming up right on an hour. Wow, this has been a long one, so I hope you enjoy it, and it'll last you all year.
The whole rest of the year.
Right, if you listen to this, if like for 30 seconds a day. Now, that would still only take a couple of months to get through that. But can you imagine listening to a podcast for 30 seconds a day?
Terrible.
Huh? 30 seconds a day?
Yeah.
You'd forget what they were talking about even.
Oh, it would take 4 months. Anyway, let's get out of here. We appreciate you giving us your time and blah, blah, blah. Call the listener line at 206-222-2428, 206-222-CHAT. We want to hear from you. Email us at technorama@chuckchat.com. We're also on Twitter and Facebook and Google+. You can find all that over at the website, chuckchat.com/technorama. And thank you. This is the time of month that I thank all of our wonderful donators for their micropayments to PayPal. You can go over to the Technorama site, chuckchat.com/technorama. And click on those buttons. We would love you for all eternity, or at least until the sun burned out and all the stars fell from the sky. That didn't make any sense, but we're on our way. Thank you, Julie. It's been good joining us. Let's see.
Thanks for having me.
Maybe next week?
Yeah,
again?
I think so.
You're here for a couple more weeks. We can do this.
Oh, cool.
Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And Craig, give me a binary high five.
101. One, yay!